This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Y llegó homenaje a dos leyendas.
Come face to face with the wrestling world the way it's never been seen before.
Ahora confrontación increíble.
The mat. The mat.
John Cena. Ahora confrontación increíble.
All right, welcome to the Preas Increíbles podcast, which is a name that has been told to me that we won't get hits on because it's Lucha and people don't like Lucha, and you can kind of guess where that came from. I am Matt D, and I am here with Stacy, who is Jimmy Redman on PWO, and we have never done this before, so this should be a hilarious string of accidents one after the other, but we're going to go over our GWE list. So Stacy, you with me?
Oh yeah, here I am.
Good. Yeah, I'm okay. This is my lunch break at work, so these will be smaller podcasts than the usual 6-hour marathons that people are used to, which I think will be a nice relief. I don't know how far we're going to get here. We're going to go through our list one at a time, back and forth, kind of stealing the Steven and Tim method of, if I have some later, we'll play Go Fish. Which, do they have Go Fish there?
Yeah, I have, yes, Go Fish, yes.
Okay, we're cross-cultural here.
We're crossing the borders here.
Yeah, it's already tomorrow there.
It is already tomorrow. It is 1:45 a.m. my time. I am sitting in my bed, hoping not to wake up anyone in my house as I speak.
Well, I am, right. The audio-visual people in my building will find me. Kind of root me out of my hidey hole. It's like pirate radio, actually, which is kind of cool. Completely ridiculous way.
Yeah, all right.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your criteria first?
My criteria?
Well, why don't I go first? And then
you can go, seeing that you are the man who has a criteria. You should start it off.
All right. I'll talk very quickly about it. So, I didn't come into this looking for things. I found things, and from there I decided upon things. Doing a lot of watching. First of all, I really take a holistic approach to someone's career. I look from the beginning, the middle, the end. I try to understand them as an artist. I try to understand them as a wrestler, which is a tough task, and I don't always succeed. I probably fail as much as I succeed, but it's the trying that matters. And I try to figure out what they're bringing to it, what their vision is, what they think pro wrestling is, as best as I can from actually watching the matches. I look for patterns. I look for what I can learn over lots of different situations, what they do in a job match, what they do in a more competitive match, in a title match, in a tag match, when they're a face, when they're a heel, early in their career, late in their career, when they have different things that they're trying to achieve. And sometimes, you can figure this stuff out. Sometimes you can't. Footage is key to this, because the more you have to see, the more you can kind of work out. And, a lot of times it's me just connecting dots that are there with lines that aren't there. But it's all consistent, so at least I have that going for me. So that's me. What about you?
Well, with me, as I've said many times on the board, I find it really hard to fully articulate my criteria. I don't even know really what it is. It sort of comes to me depending on the wrestler, depending on what kind of wrestler they are, I guess, and also depending on, frankly, how much I've seen of them. Like, the way that I look at a WWE guy who I've been watching on a weekly basis for the last 10 or 12 years is different to how I see a random, lucha guy or Japanese guy that I literally have only just started watching and have maybe seen, a dozen matches of or something. It's sort of, like you said, it's I find things, and whatever I find, that's what I go with it. But I guess the way I can describe my criteria the best is that I'm trying to ask myself, what are they really capable of? And that could be their top stuff, their absolute peak. It could be a number of good runs that they had. It could be the way that they work and the things that they do in matches on that kind of basis. Or it could be a body of work, like taking their whole career into account. And it could just be a list of great matches. And that's not something that you really go in for. But it sometimes, you know, that's what I like and that's what I see from someone. And I just am trying to sort of take the best of guys, what they do best and what they're capable of at their best, and see where that takes me.
I think we're going to end up with very different lists for a number of reasons, that criteria yes. being one of them.
Indeed.
You know, I think I should hit the blind spots first. I don't have Japan. And the reason why I don't have Japan, and maybe we'll get into this sometime later, but, you know, I just was a mainly U.S. watcher throughout my years and years of watching wrestling. I was never really big into the day trading scene, even though I was kind of on the boards for that. And it takes a long time to kind of do what I do, try to get the full picture of things. A lot of that is context. A lot of that is seeing a whole career in different scenarios. And when I was trying to fill in gaps here, I thought I could hit Japan, but it was just so much, and you need to really get a lot, or at least I needed to really get a lot to figure out where Misawa fits, or where Kobashi fits, or where someone like Fujiwara fits, and I didn't have time for that. I'm balancing a lot of stuff, and what I really decided to focus on the last 2 years, 2.5 years, was Lucha, was World of Sport, so I don't have a lot of Japan, I don't have a lot of shoot style, if any. And, you know, Yoshi, I don't really have anything there either, but I do have, you know, a lot of World of Sport. I do have a lot of Lucha and I have a lot of US, but that's me.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, the thing you say about Japan, it's funny to me now that you've said that, only because I do have quite a few Japanese people on my list. And it's funny that now out of the two of us, I am now the champion of Japanese wrestling, which is just weird because apart from you, I guess, I may be the most unqualified person to be that and to try and make cases for all these Japanese guys that I, you know, have only come to very recently and really only have a very narrow snapshot of in certain cases. But, you know, I will try my best nonetheless. But
And I will react comedically to them as I try to stumble through, like, the one Tenryu match I've seen.
Excellent. And, yeah, my blind spots, I guess, I tried to hit everything, even if it was only on a very limited basis. I hit Lucha, I hit Puro, I hit World of Sport. I guess the only real blind spot for me is just older wrestling. Once you get really into the 70s, early 70s, and anything before that, I just haven't really seen anything at all, except for one notable exception that we'll come to in time.
And I'm kind of the same boat because I need a certain amount of footage to wrap my head around a wrestler. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more, but, you know, we have limited amounts there. Like, I would have loved to include someone like the Mighty Atlas because I love the Mighty Atlas. There's a few matches from those Chicago releases from a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Great. But I can't include the Mighty Atlas because I haven't seen a lot. And the other thing is that certain people, a few people that I just had to include, are probably lower than they should be because the footage only gives me so much evidence to put them somewhere. And I know that they're better than where I have them, and we'll get there as we go, but you can only do so much. And it was a difference between them not being included or them being included too low.
Yeah, I have the same problem with a few guys on my list as well that I'll mention. Because, yeah, I just, from what I've seen, that's where they are. And I'm sure if I saw 100 more matches, they would probably be many spots higher, but, you know, alas, we're not lost. We can't watch everything.
All right, so let's get going. Why don't you start? Because I know you're 100 from the results that Stephen has started the post.
Yeah, it's been spoiled already because this is how slow we are.
I have some oddball ones that have been spoiled if you looked at the board this morning.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's fascinating already. Anyway.
So why don't you get going and we'll go from there. So you will go, you can talk about it, and then I will react, and then we'll move on from there.
Yeah. All right. Well, my number 100, as seen already on the board, is Kofi Kingston. Yes, it's true. And I even, honestly, I wasn't even really thinking that I would vote for him. Like, when I nominated him, it was mainly because, like, oh, I forgot to nominate him until the last minute, and I wanted to do it just so that, basically just so that we could have the thread and I could talk about him, and mainly, and especially because so many people on the board hate him so much, and I think you're one of those people.
You knew that hatred coming in, right?
Sorry?
You knew that hatred coming in, right?
Oh, I did, yeah, definitely. I've always seen it ever since I've been on the board. And it always makes me laugh because I've always loved Kofi so much. And I just, like, you know, it's just one of those things about being on the board. But, yeah, I wanted to make my case because I do feel like he really doesn't get credit for the worker he is, because he really is quite creative with his matches, with his match structure and the counters that he comes up with and the stories he weaves through matches over time, even through matches that are years apart. Especially, and he has really, really good finishes, and he just, and to me, especially to me personally, he just has this intrinsic babyface quality that makes me really want to get behind him and root for him and really mark out when he wins things and wins titles. He's always had that effect on me, and probably more than a lot of the babyfaces that I've grown up with, really, like all but a few of them. And so that goes a long way with me. And like I said, I really think he's quite a good worker in his own way and doesn't really get the credit for it. So he's my personal shout-out at number 100 pick.
I like him as your 100. I mean, I don't like him as a worker, but I like him as your 100 because I think with a lot of the TV workers, first off, I think your post on the board was great. You know, you talked about learned psychology. You talked about how he built over years, a lot of what you just said, but you really put that well, and it was begrudgingly accepted by me and I think by others as well. I think that he's a good representative as your 100, because I think you will have a lot of guys on your list kind of like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think you'll have a lot of TV workers, and I will too, who are work from week to week to build these matches in the kind of newer style of the the cable era. And I think that in a lot of ways, Kofi is the least of those workers. So he's nice that he's at 100, because for me, I see the strings more with him than I do with others. I think his athleticism is something to, really appreciate, but I see the effort with him more than I do with people who do it a little more flawlessly. So that's why he's not someone I'd probably consider, but I think that I like him here as a symbolic pick for you.
Yeah, he definitely is that. And yeah, he's a very me worker.
All right, so my 100th is one of the two females on my list. It's not Trish, I'm sorry. It's Judy Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Martin as 100. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I was going back and watching through a lot of old WWF footage, and I saw the first Royal Rumble with the Glamour Girls versus the Jumping Bomb Angels. And I think one thing that we're programmed to, as fans, to think is, you know, the Jumping Bomb Angels were a big deal and it was so great that we got to see them in the States. And the person that stood out in that match the most to me was Judy Martin, because she was just the glue. She was a bruiser. She was holding everything together as a base. And I looked at other matches from her from the 80s, and, you know, there's some really good stuff with Desiree Peterson, for instance. And she is just a great, solid heel, almost like a like an Arn Anderson or something, where she could do the emotion, even in that kind of Moolah-ish style where there's the hair pulling and whatever else, but that she could really, was a force in the ring, and she stood out. And, you know, there's some stuff in that Peterson match where they use the announcer's table in Gorilla Monsoon almost as a prop, and it's great. And she's in a whole bunch of different territories, and I like her a lot. I think that she's really underrated, and I wanted to get her on my list.
Fair enough, man. Like, the female Arn Anderson, I like it. You've sold me on her for that.
I'm going to mention, like, six different types of Arn Andersons as we go. Finally get the Arn Anderson. King
there
of
are
the
many.
Arn Andersons.
So, there are many Arn Andersons. Yeah, I think I've seen one or two of, like, Glamour Girls matches that I can remember when I was first started to dive into the 80s. And I remember, I really did like those matches, and I thought the Glamour Girls were good in them. I can't remember what I thought about Judy Martin specifically, but I know I thought they were a good team, and I'm definitely, you know, would be inclined to check her out with the way that you've described her.
All right, so let's surprise me with your 99.
My 99 is Rugged Ronnie Garvin.
All right, I've got Garvin higher, so we'll go on to mine.
Alrighty.
So my 99 is Les Kellett.
Ooh, yes.
Which I think only two people voted for him. I'm glad that the other person voted for him. It might have been J.R. Goldman. I like his opinions because they're like mine. But Les Kellett is a comedy wrestler from the UK from the 70s and before. We have a few matches of his, not a ton, but what you see is what you get really quickly. And he's like a combination of the Crusher, Popeye, and like one of the Stooges. And his matches, he knows every trick in the book. He uses every trick in the book, and they're hilarious. There's one with, and I'm not sure pronunciation, but Zla, and it's great. But he has so many different ones where he does different things, and he has so much stick. And I think you'll see some comedy guys in my last 10, because I do like that style. And he was great at it. And what more is that apparently behind the scenes, he was just like a hard, hard man. He was the kind of person that would slap your mother and then ask you why you made him slap your mother.
Yeah, and I've heard that those stories, that he was a total asshole.
Yeah, but on screen, he was just this kind of lovable, grumpy, hilarious, almost silent comedy figure.
Yeah.
So I people should check out his stuff, and I'm hoping by, you know, putting him on the list, some people might check out his stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I've seen at least one Les Kellett match. I don't want to butcher his name either. One of the Hungarians from World of Sport. I think it was Tibor Sikax, you know.
Yeah.
That guy, like, he had a match with that guy, I'm pretty sure, and that was really, really good and just full of hilarious comedy. And yeah, I'm glad comedy guys are getting repped here. I like comedy in wrestling. I don't care what anyone says.
All right, so go on to your 98.
My 98 is actually a last minute inclusion after the weekend, actually, at the very, very last minute.
It's not Chris Jericho, is it?
It is not Chris Jericho. I did not have Chris Jericho at 98. I will say, and I now regret ever ranking him after WrestleMania, but that's you know, for the future. And it's actually funny because now that I say this, the WrestleMania replay is on my TV right now on mute.
Again.
In the background. Yeah, it's been playing like on a constant loop for the last like 36 hours, and it's just like background noise to me at this point. And then I turn the sound up and watch the women's match and then go back to my life for another 4 hours. And it's funny, the women's match is literally just about to start now as I'm talking, and my number 98 is actually Sasha Banks.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that. I wasn't going to. Like I said, this is literally a last-minute thing after the weekend, and it may just be that I was high after the weekend and after WrestleMania. But, you know, I started thinking about it and thinking about what the kind of work she's been doing in the last, you know, 18 months, 2 years, whenever it was that her run started. Her run started in late 2013, I think, when she first started to turn heel on NXT. I mean, she started off as a babyface and then was corrupted by Summer Rae and turned heel, and then bang, there you go. And so it's actually a longer run than you sort of would think about, actually. But the work has come in the last 12 months or so. The match versus Becky at the TakeOver, the two matches versus Bayley on NXT, and then there's also NXT matches with Charlotte, with Alexa, with Paige in the early years, like with a lot of people, actually, more like when you add up all the NXT TV over the years, and she's always been a solid worker. And then, you know, and then coming to the main roster, and, you know, she's, you know, everyone gets lost in the shuffle on the main roster, but, you know, her and Charlotte and Becky just went out and had the match of the night at WrestleMania. So, I mean, the kind of the achievement She definitely gets points, as well as all the other girls, I guess. But Sasha is clearly the best worker of this group of girls. And they definitely get points for just the achievement, for the sheer achievement of what they're doing and what they've been able to do in WWE. Like, there are chants at WWE crowds for women's wrestling, and just the idea of that blows me away. And anyway, as she comes out here now, I'm watching it, Sasha herself is just, she's just really good, and ridiculously good for someone her age and someone with her experience. Because she's amazing. She's a great heel, just a great heel, and is even, you know, able to play babyface now that she's a face. And she has these great epic matches that women in WWE really haven't had before, haven't had a chance to have before, but still, you know. And so she's just a great worker. And it's sort of like a nod to the future, I guess, pick, as well as like a, you know, in the moment pick. But I just had to do it after the weekend, because the way that I feel about her and about this run is more strongly than I feel about a lot of other wrestlers. And so there she is.
Yeah, it's great that you did so personal a pick, and she's someone that's moved you over a period of 2 years, and that's more than I can say about people on my list. You know, no one's moved me as strongly over a period of 1 or 2 years than she has for you, so I can't fault it. You know, one of the most important things to me is commitment, is just how into character someone is, how seamless, you know, that you don't always see those strings. And with her, I think we see so much of her personal, you know, real life persona through the backstage stuff, through YouTube, through Up, Up, Down, Down, through whatever, that it's amazing to me that she can turn it on like she does, because you kind of know who she is as a person, how excited she was to be there, and, you know, crying. Yeah, there, WWE posted about 5 minutes of her day, which you probably saw, of her backstage and everything else, and her about to go out. And the second that she went out, she, you know, portrayed a star.
Oh, yeah. I did see that video, and you're right. Like, the moment when Snoop Dogg starts, like, rapping, and her entrance is starting, and just standing there in gorilla, she starts, like, dancing and starts getting the swagger. Like, just, you know, when she walks out, and she just, like, from going from, like, being in tears to that in an instant, I agree, it's really cool. And, I mean, even like, back at Brooklyn, the Brooklyn match with Bayley, like, Sasha was already kind of over as a babyface at that point because of the Divas Revolution, what they were doing in NXT, and they had just debuted on Raw as well, so there was this whole thing. But then she gets to this match, and she's, like, stomping on Bayley's broken hand and, like, making Izzy cry and still being able to be such a convincing heel. And she's fucking great. I love Sasha.
I was really afraid that she was going to get too much of a babyface pop in Brooklyn because of, you know, she's kind of has that Brooklyn mentality. And
yeah,
I was worried,
right,
for Bayley that night, and I had no reason to worry because Sasha went out and she was a pro.
She was great. She was an asshole in that match. It was great.
I'm sure we could talk about Sasha Banks for 2 hours, but let's move on.
Let's. Who is your 98?
98 is Brazo de Oro. And I wanted to include the Brazos in some way, shape, or form because they are such an amazing part of Lucha Libre. And Brazo de Plata, you know, Super Porky was the kind of logical way to go. But I like Oro a lot. He's sort of and this is the last time I'll use one of these references for a while because I just used it before, but he's like the Zeppo Marx of the Brazos. He's, you know, not the straight man, but he's kind of the one who's not as wacky and over the top and crazy, and he's a little more of the straightforward worker, and but he's still funny and he's still great. What he also has for him is that Santo Apresa's match, which is just so good, and he's such a mean, nasty heel in that. And
yeah,
you don't always see that with the Brazos, so I love that range in him. This is my way to kind of represent all of them because I wasn't doing a tag list and I wanted to go with him because I thought he would get less attention and that he's just as good as his brothers.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I like that. I like that as a pick. He's the one who had the really bloody Santo brawl. Yeah, that is a great match. That is actually a really good brawl. And yeah, I love the Brazos too. I am on board with this.
All right, so it's your turn.
My turn. What about 97? My 97 is also, there were two guys that I put on at the last minute over the weekend harassing Steven because my link to the voting thread wouldn't work. But one was Sasha Banks and the other one was 97, as it turns out, and that is Shinsuke Nakamura. And
that's more than fair after the weekend.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, and what happened was I watched him versus Sami Zayn on NXT the other day, and then I stopped. And like, I mean, it was so fucking awesome. And then at the end of it, I stopped and I thought, hang on, he's not on my ballot. What is wrong with me? How did I? Because I literally had just like forgotten about him completely when I made my ballot, when I was writing a list, and I have no idea why. And I watched that and I was like, oh shit, hang on, he's not even on there. I need to fix that. Like I wasn't going to make any edits after I handed it in, so to speak, and I handed it in like a few days before that. But I was like, oh shit, no, like I can't leave him off. Not after a performance like that. And I mean, and it's not just one night, because he has the last few years of just being fucking great as, you know, the king of strong style, swag skate, you know, he's great. And he has great main events in New Japan, like for many years. He has good ones with Tanahashi that I can remember. Really fucking good matches with Ibushi, that one at the G1, and then the one at Wrestle Kingdom a few years later. Like, he had a good match with AJ at Wrestle Kingdom, I think it must have been last year, or maybe this year, I don't know, but anyway, whenever it was. And even, honestly, even I really liked him even before he had this gimmick, when he was sort of plain Jane Shinsuke, because that was when I first started watching Puro, really, like in the late ooze, and that was when Noah was all the rage and things like that, and he was having good matches in New Japan even then, and having good matches in Noah too. Like, he'd come in for Noah tags. I think he actually has my all-time favorite Noah tag match. I think he's teaming up with Milano Collection AT, you know, the Japanese Tyler Breeze, you know, and that's a really awesome match. And so yeah, he's been really good for a very long time, and now the last few years has just shown this insane amount of charisma, like just ridiculous levels, and just killing it. And now he's gone to WWE and killed it already, and hopefully will continue to get chances to do so. So yeah, I threw him on there at the last second.
No, great pick, and he's. I just saw him the other day because I was. I'm going through somber matches for Segunda Keita, because I think people might be interested if they're unfamiliar with him now that he's going to be in NXT. And I saw, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of him in 2011 with Blue Panther in Mexico. And that was everything you could have hoped for with, you know, old man Blue Panther versus Nakamura. And just such a small footnote in his career. But everything he does right now over the last few years is so dynamic. It's so worth watching. I don't watch a lot of New Japan, but I watch his stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, that's telling, I think.
Yeah, definitely. All right, who is your 97?
All right, my 97 is Johnny Saint.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so you don't have Johnny Saint?
All right. No, I don't have Johnny
Saint. And I have him kind of low. He was someone that I put on pretty late in the game. But to me, he is one of the really dynamic British baby faces. There's something iconic about him. When he's up against a heel, where he's sort of standing up to them, giving them sort of the almost Galahad level of, you know, Sir George chin up, you know, heroic, but also willing to have some fun with it and willing to make them into a fool. And that's, I like tricksters. And you'll see that now and again on my list, that I like that archetype. And I think he's one of them. Sometimes I think Parv calls him that he gets too much like a cheeky fellow with his stick, where it takes away from the drama of the matches a little bit.
Yeah. The sort of wink-wink aspect to it, yeah.
Yeah, there is a heavy wink-wink accent, which is why he's kind of down here with the Brazos and Les Kellets of the world, and not higher up. But he was someone that he just has so many years, and he's so fun, and he's just a really good hero. And, you know, I probably like the heels more than the faces on some level, but I do like a good, you could see him climbing the beanstalk. doing some kind of tricked out mat work on the Giant, you know?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, no, I like it too. And I am a big babyface fan, so I can definitely get behind that. And yeah, I will. Johnny Saint and Jim Breaks had those awesome matches. Those, I think those two matches where, like, they basically just worked the nose in both of them. And they were just great.
It's going to be a long time before we talk about Jim Breaks.
It I can guarantee you it will be, definitely.
I can as well.
Either way.
All right, so that's my 97. You're up.
I'm up. My 96. Shinobu Kandori, the second woman on my list already. I'm like five guys in. Shinobu Kandori, my first Joshi worker. This is the first one where I'm like trying to find the words for someone that I don't know that well, but I really like what I've seen. Like she just comes off so effortlessly as a badass and will just like beat the shit out of people. Like it begins, you know, with the famous Akira Hakuto match from 93, which is just fucking awesome. Probably the best Joshi match ever, I would say, for me. And they had a rematch. I really, really like the rematch as well. Like, it gets sort of undersold in comparison to the more famous one, but the rematch is really, really good too, and I think has just as much drama in its own way. And there's also the Queendom tag, where she teams with Hakuto coming off those matches, and, oh, there's the chain match with Bull Nakano, where they just brawl all over the joint and just beat each other up with the chain, and it's just glorious. She's a really good brawler, really good, like, at sort of bleeding brawls, and also just at, like, kicking people in the face with no mercy. She just is just such a badass motherfucker. And, yeah, I'm, like people like Dylan on the board and, Tim on their podcast really went into the case for Kandori, like, so much better than I ever could. So, if you see on the board, and Dylan makes the case, and just even things like, there's a Manami Toyota match from 1998, I think they were talking about, that's supposed to be good, and I haven't even got to it yet. I definitely want to watch it, but I haven't seen it yet. But still, apparently there's lots more to go for Kandori, but yeah, she's already on my list at 96 from what I've seen, because she's just such a badass.
I've not seen much of her. One of the good things about this process is that even though I've seen a ton of wrestling in it, I know that there's so much more to go. So then when I hear, you know, I probably shouldn't be using this line now because I'm going to need it later. But when I hear you excited about this and Dylan excited and Tim excited, I know that if the three of you like something, that there's definitely something there. So I look forward to diving in the next, you know, year or two.
Yeah. No, she's really good. All right. Who is your 96?
All right, my 96 is Eddie Gilbert.
Okay, I don't have Eddie Gilbert, so you can talk
and
about him.
Eddie Gilbert is something, that, again, that I'm glad I got on there. It's a little bit personal, but just a little bit. And one thing that he has going for him that I love is his versatility. He was so many things over his career, and in each and every one of them, and this is something that goes back to Sasha Banks, you can see the love of wrestling. You can see just how much he wanted to do this, how much that he wanted this to be his life. And, you know, maybe to some people it's why he didn't quite achieve the level of greatness is because he cared too much. But to me, it's a huge appeal. You know, you can look early in his career when he was, you know, his dad's son in Memphis was kind of working tags, or then later on when he was kind of a young lion in WWF and, you know, back to Memphis with the New Fabs and, you know, being heel, and then going to Mid-South and being an amazing mouthpiece, but also kind of a chicken shit in the ring. And just going on through the careers through, you know, Continental, through GWF, he was like the first super indie guy in so many ways towards the end of his career. And in NWA in 89, when he was a babyface, and he was just so good in that kind of fiery babyface role. Yeah, he's just someone that I can relate to and that I can always get into his matches. And you know, when I was growing up, the GWF stuff, he was one of the first kind of big baby faces that I could get behind in that regard. So he's someone who just does so many things. He does them so well, so earnestly and so believably. You know, every time that I find a new Eddie Gilbert match I never saw before, I'm happy for it. So.
No, definitely. I like it. I like the personal picks. I like it when, you know, when someone's really excited about someone, it sells it, you know. I think the only Eddie Gilbert match I've seen that I can remember is one he had with Lawler, and there was a fireball involved.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with him and Lawler is that he wanted to be Lawler. That's what they always say. So it was always extra special when he got to work with him.
Mm.
Yeah,
it was a really good match.
So that's Gilbert.
Alrighty, what are we up to? 95.
Yeah, from 95.
My 95 is Kota Ibushi.
Okay.
The little man. I love Ibushi. I've always loved Ibushi. Maybe it's because he's cute. I don't know. But he's such a great little, like, pretty boy, good-looking, young, high-flying baby face. Like, he just exudes that quality effortlessly. And he also backs it up with his work, though. That's the thing. And that's the difference between him, you know, compared to so many other guys like him. He's really good at being that. Like, he's a junior. He's really good at working juniors matches in Japan. He's really good at working spot fest. Like, he comes to America a lot, to indies, and he's great at doing just a balls-out indie spot fest that the people love. And he can work, like, junior title matches in Japan, or he can work, like, versus a heavyweight and just get his ass kicked and sell and sell and come back. Or even, like, working even, because him and... When he faced Nakamura in those awesome matches, like, they were, like, going toe-to-toe, and Ibushi was going toe-to-toe with Nakamura and holding his own. And he has that ability to sort of do all those sorts of things at once. Even like, comedy, because, I mean, his home promotion is DDT in Japan, which is, like, one of the homes of comedy in Japan. And he has a 20-plus minute singles match versus Yoshihiko, who is the blow-up doll of DDT, who was, like, a champion of some sort at the time. And he has this, like, 20-minute singles match with Yoshihiko that I just love so much, because he just kills himself in this match, you know, getting this blow-up doll over. And it's just so weirdly believable, you know, in the absurd pro wrestling way. And he's just sort of great at everything that he's asked to do. And, I mean, and he's even now, he's going to be in the WWE Cruiserweight tournament, so I'm hoping that he makes his way to WWE and we can see what he does in NXT and whatnot, because he's really, really good. For a flippy-floppy, you know, flippy-do guy, he's really good at it. Like, his spots are amazing. His high spots are amazing. He flies really, really gracefully, really well, and he knows how to use his spots to maximum effect and to really get them to sing. And so I think for the kind of worker that he is, he's really, really good at it.
Yeah, I kind of want to punch him. there's a Hanma match that I really like from last year, the year before. I don't have much to say about Ibushi. He works hard. He hits a lot of stuff. It's not really my style, but he does what he does well, and I'm curious to see what he does in the WWE, and if they, it's pure.
punchability, you leave it at
it's
that.
Good for a baby face, I guess. For some people. All right, yeah. Let's move on.
I'm going first. So who is your 95?
My 95 is Sheamus.
Oh, Sheamus. Yes.
You gotta have
Sheamus
higher, right?
I have Sheamus higher, so we'll leave him.
So it's you then, or what do we do here?
I'll go. My 94, actually, you will like this, I feel. My 94 is Bill Eadie, the Masked Superstar.
I've got him higher.
Cool. Well, then, who's your 94?
Is my next one Samoa Joe?
Ah, I have Joe much higher.
Yeah, so we're playing Gilfish here. All right, go next.
You definitely won't have my next guy. My number 93 is Kazuo Yamazaki. I don't even know how to say his name properly, but there it is. Yamazaki. He's a shoot stylist for the most part in Japan. He's had runs in New Japan as well, in the 80s and 90s. But he's mainly a shoot style guy. He was in the UWF and the UWFI. And then, yeah, just hanging around those kind of things in the late 80s and the 90s. And I have a soft spot for Yamazaki. He's just, I love the guy. And I think it's half because of his face. He has a great face. Like, it's so utterly expressionless. Like, even by the standards of the Japanese wrestlers, he's really just got this great expressionless, like, bored-looking face. He will stand there and look totally bored while he's kicking people's heads in. And it's just, I love it. It's just great. And he's just, he's good. He sort of specializes in just kicking at people to various degrees. But he's good at it, and it's enjoyable to me. And he's not a jobber, but, like, he's not sort of a top guy even for the shoot promotions. And so he's usually going down at the end of it when he meets a top guy like a Fujiwara or like Vader. He jobs to Vader at some point. And it's just great because he's going down, but he will kick the shit out of you before he does, and then he will just die very spectacularly. And he's, like I said, he's great being killed by Vader. He's got really good matches versus Tamura, versus Takeda, versus Fujiwara. I'm pretty sure they had a lot of really good matches, him and Fujiwara. He has an IWGP title shot against Hashimoto at some point that I really, really love. I think that's great. And just generally, he's a guy whose name I see pop up on YouTube or whatever I'm looking at, and I get excited because I really do like watching him. He has that watchability factor to me.
Yeah, no, he sounds fun. He sounds like someone, and that's the stuff I'm going to hit sooner than later, I think, is I'm going to lean in my Japanese watching more towards shoot style, more towards New Japan in the 80s and 90s, and, you know, a lot of Vader, a lot of Fujiwara, and I'm looking forward to that stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, well, me too, because I still have so much to see of this stuff, so it is... I'm getting into it, and I never thought I would get into shoot style, but I finally cracked it, and I'm starting to enjoy it, and I really feel like I will enjoy it a lot more in the future as well.
Yeah, it was a lot closer for me to get into shoot style than it was for me to get into, you know, some of the All Japan Masters, and some of that's because there's a little bit less of it, but I found it pretty engaging in general. As long as you find that narrative through line, then it's good, so I'm looking forward to that. All right, so what are we on? We're on 93?
Yeah, 93.
All right, my 93 is Zoltan Bostic.
Oh, cool. I like it. Go for it.
I love Zoltan Bostic. He's Hungarian as well. He's got this kind of Eastern European Cold War look to him, where he's something out of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and, you know, he's like a Bond villain, and they don't play him up quite that much because it's World of Sport, so it's a little subdued. But, you know, he's like a Cold War gremlin. He's like a complete wizard. He's so technical. He's everything I could ever want, like, a Dean Malenko to be, or what I picture in my mind what the great Malenko was, even though he probably wasn't. And he's so good at getting out of holds and landing on his feet on the snap mares. And, you know, he's a great heel. And the few times I've got to see him as a heel where he just leans in and digs in and just is, you know, the crowd wants to hate him because he's forward, and he plays into that, and he's kind of spoiling their hero's chances to get him because he's so good at getting out of things. And he's even better as a face because he makes the heel look like a fool, and he's so good at that. You know, there's not that much of his out there, but what's out there is so fun to watch. I love the guy. And, you know, I originally had him a little bit lower as almost a vanity pick, but I had to put him higher because he's one of the best things I found in World of Sports. Just maybe not, you know, the best matches, but just so fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I haven't seen enough of him to have considered him for something like this, but, like, I have seen him a little bit, and, yeah, like you said, he's really fun escaping everything and just, yeah, being that kind of worker. He's really fun to watch.
All right, so you're up 92.
Yeah. My 92, is The Rock.
I do not have The Rock.
Alrighty. Well, I didn't I threw the rock on the end. I wasn't going to put him any higher than this. But, I mean, he's just – he's clearly, like, one of the most charismatic wrestlers to ever live by leaps and bounds. And he just – that kind of charisma bleeds into his matches and gets the most out of his matches. And over the years that he was on top, you know, working up until 2002 or 2003, whenever it was that he left – there's a lot of good, like, main event matches over the years that have added up, and that's what I'm thinking of when I'm ranking him here. Like, really good main events with Triple H. There's a lot of good main events with Austin. Like, there's a couple of ones that weren't so good, like, especially their first Mania match, which is just kind of ugh. But they had the rematch at Backlash, which was great, and then, like, WrestleMania 17, I really like that as a, like, crazy, epic Attitude Era main event. And there's the matches versus Jericho and versus Kurt Angle that I thought were good, but not like, oh, as great as other people kind of think they are. I really like his match at SummerSlam 2000 with Triple H and Kurt Angle, the one where Kurt Angle gets knocked the fuck out and carted off to the back and they have to just figure out the rest of the match. And it actually turns into quite a compelling main event. And so stuff like that. And there's also, like, the Hogan match then and the Brock match where he put Brock over before he left. And he just – and those two matches in particular show just how good he is with a crowd, knowing exactly what to do with them and what they want and how to get the most out of them. I think because he was there with the Hogan match and went along with what the crowd wanted them to do. And even in the Brock match, when he was putting Brock over, he was already getting booed because they knew he was leaving. And he just kind of went with it, and it ended up making for a better match. And so he has those kind of instincts for a crowd. He doesn't really have the instincts of a wrestler, like in terms of being a great wrestler, like physically, but he absolutely knows what to do with a crowd. And so that's what I rate about him.
I think that's fair. He's someone who has some really high highs. I think that he's also very good at being in heavily produced matches, which is a skill in of itself, especially when you combine that with the way he does listen and reacts to the crowd. You know, things like the Iron Man match or like Halftime Heat, which were more compelling than they probably should have been. I think at some point maybe he lost himself and became kind of a self-parody at times, especially as a babyface. And maybe that hurt who he could have been and the organic nature of who he could have been a little bit. But no.
Yeah, see, like, and in comparing him to Austin, who like is sort of his closest kind of comparison, like Austin has so much more believability and so much more authenticity, I think, as a wrestler, whereas Rock is kind of much more of a sort of production, to put it that way. And also,
yeah, if you're an execution person, you're going to hate that sharpshooter.
Oh yeah, and his stupid ass punches, and you know, all the rest of it. But I mean, I am absolutely 100% not an execution person.
And nor am I, for the most part.
So I
think that sharpshooter has to be a joke. He has to know. He can't not know, and he does it just because he can.
Of course.
Rock.
Of course.
Going to get over anyway into the height of wrestling as a symbol as opposed to whatever.
Exactly. Like, it really doesn't matter what his sharpshooter looks like. Like, it just doesn't.
Does it matter? You did the Rock, it doesn't matter.
Oh. and also, I will say, though, in Against the Rock, that, like, his comeback run, his comeback matches that he's had the last few years have been really kind of shitty, except for the first Cena match. I really, really like the first Cena match, but I mean, I'm me, so, you know, but he's been kind of woeful, like really blown up and really not performing as well as, you know, you kind of would expect him to. So that's a mark against him. And I didn't really put him that high. And so, but I, you know, there is quality there. And like I said, he's really capable of having a great, even if it is overproduced, a great crazy WWE main event at his best.
All right, so we are at 92. My 92 is Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah, I have him higher.
Okay, so let's go on to your 91.
My 91 is L.A. Park.
I do not have Park on my list. He did not make the cut.
Really? I'm a little surprised by that.
He was one of the last ones to go.
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. All right, well, I suppose I'll start then. I'm just going to call him La Parka because, that's, who he was for the most part.
We don't mean the crummy AAA La Parka. All
right. No, we mean the original La Parka, the good one. He's just so infinitely watchable. He's this crazy dude in a full body skeleton suit playing air guitar, with a chair and dancing around doing moonsaults. I mean, not moonsaults, moonwalks. That's what I meant to say, moonwalks. And just bumping and stooging like a rudo and then just brawling everywhere, ripping masks, bleeding all over the place. Everything that he does, from WCW to Lucha is just great, and you just can't help but watch him and be entertained by him. And I mean, I'm not a Lucha Brawl person. They really just don't grab me, but he is one of those guys who can get me into a big, epic Lucha Brawl, which are like the ones that he's had in recent years, versus the new La Parka, versus Dr. Wagner Jr., I think it was, and versus, what's his face? Macias. The current Mil Muertes, I think he is. All these really epic AAA brawls, brawling main events, and he just nails them. And I mean, and as well, I really like him as a rudo, just in trios, going back to the 90s, when he's on some trios, like opposite Rey Mysterio, whoever's around, and he's just like bumping and stooging his ass off like a really good rudo should. And he's great in WCW. The reason I posted in his thread and just got excited about him like a few weeks ago was because I was on YouTube, and on the side it popped up La Parka vs Goldberg, and I thought to myself, do I want to watch La Parka get squashed by Goldberg? And I thought, fuck yes, I really, really do. And so it was a two move Goldberg squash, but it's really entertaining, and everyone should just go and watch it. It's a great way to spend 5 minutes. And he has that, anything he does, it's just so great to watch. He's so fun to watch.
No, I agree. He came really close to making my list. I think he's amazing in the brawls. I love him in those trios in the Atomicos from the 90s, where he was way more athletic than you'd think. He stood out, even when he was teamed with people who, were made to stand out in Lucha. And I think the reason why he didn't make it is because even some of the best stuff from the last 10 years in that Wagner TXT brawl is like amazing. It's just amazing that the emotion in the comeback in that, it's just got a little too much of the heel ref stuff. I think he has a buddy that's a ref and he takes him with him and he has his own personal ref or something. And it just, that's the one trope in Lucha that just drives me nuts. And it was enough to keep him just off my list. But it was a real close thing.
Fair enough. I fucking hate heel refs in Lucha as well. I'm with you there.
I hate it.
Stupid.
I hate it. Anyway, we don't need to complain about that right now. So, all right. So my 91 is the Big Boss Man.
Oh, righto. I don't have Big Boss Man.
Yep. And I got him. I guess this would be relatively high because he'd be more of a personal pick. But he's just, so good in so many different ways, as the kind of stooge heel at the beginning, taking the big bumps that got him hired, later on as the kind of monster heel when he bulked up. I love the Twin Towers versus Rockers. I love Twin Towers versus Demolition, which are completely different matches. But they're still, there. And his stuff with Hogan, he actually holds up. I saw this Hogan match the other day where he came out like New Jack with his music playing, Hogan, and he was like beating up Slick in the Bossman as the music kept playing. And then when it stopped playing, he got mad. So that was great. And then as a baby face, he got athletic, he got a little smaller again, and he's got a lot of good stuff there. I love his Earthquake series. He went on, had the Vader stuff. He has an All Japan stuff, which stands up way more than you think he would. And what I really love out of him, which no one else has seen but me, I promise you, is he has a ton of 2 to 3 minute matches against, Crash Holly or the Hurricane or whoever on Jacked and Metal, and probably Heat in 2002, 2003 before he ended up with the company. And they're 2 minute matches, but he maximizes every second of those 2 minutes. He's doing the Titanic, I'm the King of the World thing on the top rope, PCC heel. And he just, you know, there's not, he makes the most of 2 minutes more than anyone else I've ever seen. And it's just an amazing quality. I love the guy. He's great.
Cool, man. Like, yeah, he's, Bossman is just, I'm just of a different generation.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just, he's not someone I grew up with and kind of have that, you know, connection to or really desire to watch. But I mean, like, yeah, he just, I'm glad that you love him so much. Like, and I agree, being able to make the most out of 2 minutes is a really good quality in a wrestler. That's a quality that I like in such wrestlers as, like, Kelly Kelly and Michelle McCool. So, you know, so I definitely appreciate that as a talent.
All right, so let's see. So you're 90.
My 90 is another Japanese guy, Masa Fuchi.
Okay.
And Fuchi, I had to throw in there. Like, he's just so great in that early 90s All Japan period. And he's just, like, in this project, I think just generally, when you're trying to find guys, especially in areas you're not so familiar with, guys that can stand out for whatever reason are really, like, going to grab your attention. Like, whether that's standing out for being, like, head and shoulders better than everybody else around them, because that makes people stand out as well, I feel. But, like, also just standing out for being completely different to everyone else around you. And Fuchi has that, because, I mean, he's in All Japan in the early 90s when everyone is just trying to, like, you know, work harder and be stronger and, you know, everything that we already know about them. And there's Fuchi, who's just, he's a little dude. He's a junior trapped in the All Japan heavyweight division. And he's just a little dude who, like, heels around and cheats and, like, pokes eyes and also just kicks the hell out of people. He works limbs. He's really good at working limbs. And they're just annoying asshole in these matches. Like all the trios that they had in the early 90s in 90, 91, 92. You know, he's there. He's the guy who's ultimately going to go down, but he will put up a really entertaining fight while he's in there, like, scrapping against all these bigger guys. There's everybody knows about the Kobashi and Kikuchi versus the Can-Ams in All Japan.
Yeah, I've seen that one, actually. So
yeah.
Everyone must know about them if I've seen it.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. Like, I feel like everyone's seen that by now. Well, they should have, because it's awesome. But there's that match. But Kobashi and Kikuchi also have this match around the same time versus Masa Fuchi and Ogawa. And it's almost just as good. It really is just, it's just a similar match, and it's just great, because Fuchi and Ogawa are just this great heel team, annoying the shit out of the baby faces. And it's so great. Everyone should watch that match as well. If you like the Can-Am's match, then you really need to watch that one as well. And yeah, and Fuchi is just great as the guy on the heel team, just being so annoying and just taking people's limbs and just kicking people and being just an asshole.
So, yeah, I like him too. I've seen my share of him. I think that he picked up a lot of great talents in Memphis. And, you know, he's got
some
catch overall there, too, if you haven't seen yet, the second one. He's got some other stuff, which is a lot of fun. And I mean, both him and Onita, you know, they took some of the coolest stuff from Memphis and they brought it back to Japan. So, yeah, I'm not going to say much more on him, so we keep moving. But he's someone I want to see more of when I do explore that stuff more.
Yeah, I feel like you will like him when you get into it, just because of what he does, the kind of worker he is. And you're right, I really like him in Memphis as well, that Memphis run. So, yeah.
All right, so my number 90 is Tommy Rich.
Okay, go for it.
Yep. So Tommy Rich, he's, again, someone who can play a lot of different roles. It's great both as a face and a heel. He's really iconic as a baby face. He's, you know, so easy to get behind. He's so fiery. I like him probably even more so as kind of a late career heel, though. Even in WCW, but, you know, in ECW is a Don. He's just someone who, you know, he's just such he got it so well. I think that he understood how to be a good heel because he had to be a great babyface first, which sometimes you get it the other way around. But, you know, he's someone like that. And he has that 89. Oh, he's got the Memphis runs, which are great. He has that 88 WA run, which is fun. He has, the WCW run in, you know, 89, 90, where he was having good matches with people like Luger. And he's just someone that was too good at what he did for me not to put him where I did. That's where I am on Tommy Rich.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I like Tommy Rich. From what I've seen of him, I've seen a very limited snapshot of Tommy Rich, but I do like him, actually. He's a guy I really should watch more of. I remember, and I like him as a babyface as well, like really early on. I've seen a random babyface match that I thought was just great. I haven't seen enough of Tommy Rich myself.
Yeah, there's a lot of footage we don't have, but I think what we do from Georgia, he really, you know, shines.
So. Yeah, definitely.
That's my 90. What's your 89?
My 89 is Pirata Morgan.
Okay. I have him higher.
Okay, then. Who is yours? All right,
so my 89 is Wahoo McDaniel.
Okay, I don't have Wahoo.
Okay, so Wahoo, and maybe some people think that he should be higher, even though you don't have him. But he is, you know, as credible as they come. He was someone who could just stand toe-to-toe with anyone. And, he has great matches up and down, you know, with Flair. We have some of the stuff from Houston now, which is so cool. He has stuff, you know, throughout the years. He is, I especially love him, though, as a heel. I love the Magnum title change match. I love him as a grumpy, you know, jerk U.S. champion in 85. He has the Bockwinkel matches, which, you know, other people were higher on them than I were, but that's what he does in those matches, you know, the believability and the punches and just how tough he seemed and just how, well he could do all aspects of kind of working, even though he didn't have to. He's someone who, I mean, he's another one that you're never going to turn down a chance to see a new Wahoo match. It's just, it's a treat. It's something special because he had, you know, that aura and he had that connection. So that's Wahoo.
Yeah, sure. I've been thinking about it. I can't say that I've seen a full Wahoo match. I don't think.
Definitely watch that Bockwinkel match. And you should watch the Magnum TA title change. I think you'll like it. It's in a cage. It's very straightforward, but it's a lot of fun.
Fair enough. Yeah, he's just a guy that's just too before my time, and I just haven't looked at him yet.
And, you know, one thing with me is that I don't value stiffness as much as other people do. So while he has these incredibly stiff brawls, it's not entirely my thing. I put him on there. I think he deserves to be there, but he's not quite as high as he might be for other people.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
All right, so let's keep moving. 88.
My 88, I wonder if you'd have him or not. Pete Roberts.
I do not have Roberts. He's not one of my guys that made it. I just didn't see enough.
Okay, yeah. Well, I ended up seeing quite a bit of him, like, relative to how much World of Sport there is out there. I've seen quite a bit of him now, and I actually really like him. Like, I think it must have been Dylan on the board who put the case that he's, like, he's quite, like, a plain kind of character, very vanilla character, just a, you know, plain baby face. But the work that he does in the matches is really good, regardless. And he just knows how to work. He's got all the tricks, all the holds and the moves and the counters and the, you know, all the tricks that you like. And he also is really good at getting fired up when need be. When there's a point in a lot of these World of Sport matches, there's a point where the match breaks down, where the tempers just start, you know, going up and the tension flies and it starts becoming a brawl. Things just get nasty. And he's really good at that moment and then reacting to it and just all of a sudden getting really, really grumpy and really stiff and will just start uppercutting people. And he's got a lot of good matches that I've seen. There's, especially with Pat Roach, multiple matches with Pat Roach. There's matches versus Skull Murphy. I'm pretty sure there was a really good match versus Terry Rudge that I saw, and this is just off the top of my head, but yeah, he's got a good list of matches for a World of Sport guy, and
when you speak to the stiffness and whatnot, he's someone who actually did pretty well in Japan, I think, as well. I don't think we have much of that footage, but he was someone that got over there.
Yeah, and I can see that, because he really does know how to lay it in when he needs to. So, yeah.
So, let's see, we're up to 88. My 88 is Mike Jackson, who I am the high vote on. I'm very glad to have him on here. I think it's important to have people who do different things. And I think you know, we talked about having that 2-minute match and being good. He is the best jobber ever. He is someone who can make anyone look like $1 million, you know, through his bumping, through when he would do his comebacks, through his selling, through, you know, when he would just give and how he would give. And, you know, he looked like nothing. He looked like this bald guy with a goatee and beard and just, you know, but like the sack. And he was just really good at shining up everyone around him. And he did this over years, and he did this over promotions. You know, you'll see him in Mid-South, you'll see him in NWA, you know, be in Alabama. And it's just, it's exciting when you realize you're watching an old TV show, and the guy who's going to put over Tully Blanchard, who's going to put over Arn Anderson, who's going to put over, you know, Dick Murdoch or whoever, it's Mike Jackson. You know, your face will light up to get, oh, this is going to be good. And it's going to be 6 minutes of nothing, but it's going to be the best 6 minutes of nothing that you can imagine.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Like, and I agree with you about roles and about, like, all roles in wrestling are valid. You know, if you're a comedy guy, but you're the best friggin' comedy wrestler out there, then, you know, you should be appreciated. And if you're the best friggin' squashy that there is, then you definitely should be appreciated. And I definitely, you know, I'm on board with your pick, Mike Jackson, and how high you put him as well.
Yeah, I think he could have even gone higher if we just had a little more footage. Mm. All right, so 87.
My 87 is El Samurai. Right. And I kind of... Sorry?
Well, you knew that I didn't have El Samurai.
Yeah, I just went straight in because I knew you didn't have El Samurai. Yeah, I sort of... Looking at him now, he sort of seems a little high because I'm not sure where exactly to go with him right now. But, I mean, he has some of the best juniors matches ever. Like, his high end matches are just amazing. Like the Liger match from 92, it must be, is just phenomenally good, and he's phenomenally good in it. And it's just, I guess the reason that he's not sort of considered one of the greats, I guess, is just that he just doesn't hit that kind of performance often enough. He hits it a few times in his career, but just not often enough. There's really good matches with Otani, just great juniors matches with Otani, and I like, he's another guy that I enjoy seeing pop up, because he's a guy who will just really recklessly fly around and throw his body around, just with no regard for his own safety. He really puts some heft into his dives and his flying moves, which is a good thing from a junior. And yeah, I think so. Yeah, his peak matches are just really off the charts, and that's why I put him on.
All right, I don't have a lot to say about El Samurai, but let's just move on then. You definitely put it well and stuff. Again, that's whenever I get to those J Cups that I was supposed to watch like 20 years ago and I never did for some reason, then I will definitely see that. All right, my number 87 is Roddy Piper.
Oh, okay, cool. I thought about Piper, but I don't have him.
And Piper is overlooked to me. He's someone who, you know, people say is a great talker, or people remember his WCW work. And, you know, I'm someone that does care about the end of a career, but he was pretty busted at that point with the hip. He was pretty immobile. And I do have some immobile workers on this list later on that are much higher because they were even better immobile. But Piper has a lot in his career that I really love. I love his Portland work. You know, he has the tag against the Sheepherders with Rick Martelli. He has a tag against Buddy Rose and Ed Wiskowski. He's got the singles matches with both Wiskowski and Rose. You know, he's got the stuff in Georgia. He's got the dog collar match. You know, he has stuff in L.A. before that, which we have some of it and so much fun. He was electric. He was absolutely electric in his prime. As a heel, he could rouse up a crowd. You know, as a babyface, he'd get him behind him. He would break a bottle over his head. He was someone who was so good at bringing what happened before a match and in between a match into the match and making it part of the match and having it be part of how he wrestled. And you can go later on. You know, I love his stuff with Bruno and WWF. You know, his stuff with Andre. He has a lot of fun stuff that, you know, just gets lost through the cracks. I like his baby face around there. I especially like when he came back and he went through the Heenan family. He actually has my favorite, other than maybe the Brett match, my favorite Mr. Perfect heel stuff when he was going up against him in MSG and whatnot. And yeah, I love the later Bret match at WrestleMania. He's just got, I even love when he was, wrestling the Mountie and he wore like a rubber jacket so the shock stick couldn't get him. That level of imagination, which is kind of like, that same level of imagination that someone like Kofi has, but instead of being in spots, it's kind of in that big set piece. So yeah, Piper has a lot going for him, and I feel really good about him in 87.
Yeah, sure. No, I like Piper. And I agree with you that he gets overlooked by people a lot as not, as just a talker, but he is really good. I haven't seen enough of his matches to really seriously consider him, but he is, I'm a big fan. And the dog collar match versus Greg Valentine is one of my all-time favorite matches of the 80s. I really, really love that match.
And while the level of violence of that was the exception, the level of skill really wasn't the level, wasn't an exception for him throughout that decade.
Yeah. So. No, fair enough.
All right, so you're 86.
My 86. You will love this. My 86 is Edge.
All right, let's talk about Edge.
God, that asshole annoyed me for so many years of his career, like when I was sitting through it. But he is one of those guys where it's just, he has a list of great matches. This is great match theory come to life in its purest form.
This shows you the fallacy of great match theory.
Indeed, because, God, I hated this guy for so often. But also I liked him at periods as well. That's the difference. And he does have a long list of great matches and a lot of good runs. Like he was good as the SmackDown ace when he moved to SmackDown, throughout 2008, 2009. He was really good in that role. He was really good when he was coming up on Raw as the Rated R Edge when he had Lita and everything in 2006. And he was one of the few guys to get heel heat versus Cena in that early period, which is an achievement, I think. And I even really like him like during the SmackDown 6 era when he was a babyface tagging with Rey. And all that. Like, he has a lot of good, runs that I really like of his. And just a lot of great matches, the TLC matches, lots of ladder matches and stuff, but also, straight matches. Like, he had good matches with Cena all the time. He has good TV matches with Rey, good TV matches with Benoit, over the years, good matches with Jericho. The great cage match versus Matt Hardy. There's a lot there over the years, and that's why I had to rank him, even though it annoys me that I did, and I will really hate it. I don't think I will be his high voter, but I mean, I would hate it if I was. I doubt that it'll happen, though, which is a relief to me. But, he's there just for the body of work, for the results he got from his career.
I have a prepared statement on Edge.
Indeed.
I do. Yeah, I've written this down, just in case you voted for Edge. When I have to talk about Edge, I want to talk about how the heavily punctuated WWE main event storytelling style forces wrestlers to focus on big moments when it comes to their wrestling style as opposed to smaller ones. Edge wrestled as an opportunist, but only when the spotlight was on it. That was the most intelligent thing I could come up to say about Edge. So, there you go.
And that's a valid complaint, I feel. But fair enough.
And everything else is like the goofy faces and the running hug, and we don't need to talk about that.
No, we don't. Everyone knows about Edge. Like, there's nothing really more to say.
He has great matches. He was very good at being a character who was put into really horrible situations. like if you have to wrestle The Undertaker, then that's great. And his facial expressions would be great.
Yeah. That's one of the few times that I liked him as a character was during the Undertaker feud.
Even on his current show, the Edge and Christian blah 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 whatever show, Christian is totally carrying him.
As he always did.
As he always did. All right. Let's move far away from Edge.
Indeed, let's.
All right. So my 86 is Hector Garza.
You were talking to me about
him. I wish that you had gotten a chance to see him more because I think you're going to like him. To me, he's kind of, going back to Sasha Banks, if she's the heir to Eddie Guerrero in some ways, Hector Garza was too after Eddie passed and even a little bit before. He is the most charismatic, son of a bitch that you will ever see. this guy, just the facial expressions he makes, and you know what he's known for mainly is being a high flyer in the 90s, you know, his corkscrew moonsault and all that, but who cares about that? Yes, he could do it. Yes, it's great that he could, you know, marry running up the top rope and backflipping so smoothly with everything else that he did. But I love him as a Rudo, where he's just, you know, constantly like praying and playing to the crowd and being this irascible scoundrel, who is just, you know, just ridiculous. And he's so great at it. And yeah, I guess we're missing some of the great matches or whatever. But I just love watching him in the trios in the same way, you know, we'll get to them later, but I love watching Negro Casas and I love watching, you know, Fuerza Guerrera. And he just stands out in everything he does. He was paired up with Strongman, with John Anderson, who is just the biggest, you know, brick in the world. He's just this massive roided out guy. And he probably has 100 matches with him on tape. Maybe not that many, but a ton. And you'd think it'd be horrible, but just his reaction, just kind of like Edge, where, you know, he turns around, he sees that this giant guy is coming at him and he's trapped in the corner and he tries to beg his way out. It's just, it's so good. You love to hate this guy. So he's my 86.
Fair enough. Yeah. I will get to him. You know? Like I think I've only seen him as a young technico, like back in the 90s.
He's missing it. He's just a charismatic asshole.
Yeah, not
right,
fair enough.
So let's do one more, and then we're going to have to end up for now. So let's do the 85, or maybe we'll do two more, because my 85 is going to be way higher on your list, probably. So let's do one to two more. All right, 85.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. My 85 is Jerry Blackwell.
Yeah, that's higher for me. So mine's CM Punk.
Oh, yeah, I have Punk higher.
Yeah, so both of those are higher. We'll talk about them later. So let's do 84 and pretend it was 85.
Okay. Alrighty. My 84, you definitely won't have, is the great Sasuke.
Nope, don't have the great Sasuke.
Alrighty, well, I put him in a similar boat to El Samurai, in that, like, I really love his best juniors matches, like, when he's at his best, and that's, would be the main reason why I threw him on the back of my list here. Like, he's, again, he's a guy who really can throw his body around really recklessly, and just has a way of making dives, like, not pretty, but really impactful and really nasty. Like, he's killing people with them, and also killing himself. But, I mean, either way, there's a danger to them that dives don't often have, which is good. He's got that insanely great match versus Liger at the J Cup, the first J Cup. And it just, oh, that's great. That's great shit. Even the botch at the end is great, just because he's the one doing it. It's like when Sabu botches, and it just adds to the chaos. He's exactly like that. Like, Sasuke is just a wild, out-of-control guy who will just flip himself onto concrete for no reason. Like, he's quite insane. And, you know, he's good in that he has good matches. I think versus Ultimo Dragon that I really like. And he's good in all of those Michinoku Pro six-man tags and all those kind of matches. He had a short run in WWF in 97. When they had the light heavyweight division for a minute. And I mean, yeah, whenever he pops up, he has that watchable quality. I have a soft spot for, like, guys in bodysuits, like, flinging their bodies around, as we can see, and he's one of them, and he's really good at it when he does.
Yeah. For people who would have that mask, I will take him over Octagon any day.
I love Octagon too, though.
Yeah, we had to talk about Octagon later.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not. Spoiler. No, we're not.
All right. Yeah, no. He's a lot of fun. I haven't seen, you know, nearly as much as I should. But, yeah, again, I would take him over to Octagon any day. All right. My 84, who I can't imagine you have, and I can't pronounce his name right, is Steve Vidor.
Oh, the British guy.
Yeah, the British guy.
Yeah, righto.
Great way to describe him.
Yeah, no, I don't have him. Yeah, I assume it's Vidor.
Yeah, and he is someone who, he's not in on just one match, he's in on a couple of matches on here, but he is a great, just another chin-up British baby face. He reminds me of like a vicar who, you know, you push and you push and you push and he's finally had enough, and then he comes back, and not everyone can portray that, he does. He has probably one of my favorite World of Sport matches, which is the Lord Alfred Hayes match. And I kind of wish I could put Hayes on here on the strength of two matches, because that's all we really have of him, but I can't. But Hayes is such a great underhanded heel there. He's, you know, Judo Al Hayes, just coming back from the States. And, you know, the last time they saw him, he was a good guy. And this time he comes back and he's just cheating more and more and doing all these tricks more and more. And Vader just gets angrier and angrier and just until he has enough and he fires back. And, you know, he has some good straight matches against, like Tony Charles and other people where he's just, you know, a solid heavyweight. He's just really good at both the sportsmanlike stuff, but especially good at being a babyface and being that sort of champion of the people, who's just this kind of soft-spoken, mild-mannered guy who you push too far and then you wish you didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Like, I want to say his match versus, and I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong too, but his match versus Gwyn Davies.
Mm-hmm.
That is, like,
that's a classic one that everyone
unbelievable.
Knows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that's just great. That's probably one of the very, very best World of Sport matches ever. Like, it's just, it's phenomenally good title match.
And it's a great match, and that he has that, and he has the Hayes match, which is so different, but also so great. It's just a testament to him.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch the Hayes match, because I don't think I saw it.
It's but, great. It's, oh, yeah. I might be overselling it a little bit, but just a little, because Hayes is such a nasty bad. And again, see, you didn't grow up with Lord Alfred Hayes, which is another tricky thing, is, you know, he was that kind of, you know, foppish British, mild-mannered, goofy voice. He was Vince's, you know, guy he would make fun of. He was the promotional consideration is paid for. You know, all
Yeah, I've definitely seen enough to know him as the goofy commentator guy.
But he was like a grandfatherly like figure to anyone growing up watching WWF at that time. So to see him then being a complete and utter bastard is awesome.
Yeah, no, I have to watch that. And anyone who hasn't seen the Vitor Davies match has to go and watch it right now, because it's unbelievable. I will really put that match over. That's great.
All right, so we're through our 84, and we've done this for about an hour and 20 minutes, and we're going to have to cut now. So let's bring this to a halt, and we'll try again in a couple of days, and we'll keep pushing through this list slowly.
Indeed. We'll race Steven to the reveals of the list.
Yeah, we have all of April. We should be okay. Now, at least, if you know, you won't know when, I don't know, when Zoltan Bostic comes up in the top 500 that I was a high vote or whatever.
Well, there you go, yeah. And you'll know that I voted for Edge.
Hopefully people enjoyed this. Hopefully, you know, they can understand me through my cold that I have going on and the fact that we're half a world away. But, all right, so let's see this again pretty soon, okay?
We shall.
All right.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.